Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
You're listening to the QuickBook Reviews podcast. Brighten your day with a book.
Hello, my fellow bookworms. This is Philippa from QuickBook Reviews, author interviews and book reviews. Well, we're back here with a short Friday special. And actually, this is the last one where we've got three authors in an episode. From next week, we're going down to two authors just to fit it all in and make it work a bit more efficiently. But today we've got some absolute classics. So we have got Greg Buchanan talking about his book Consumed, Veronica Henry talking about her book 30 Days in Paris, and Steph Penny talking about The Beasts of Paris. Two Parises in one episode. Who knew? So let's get stuck in straight away and hear from Greg Buchanan about Consumed. Well, it's just my huge pleasure to welcome back to the podcast Greg Buchanan, whose latest book is Consumed. Greg, welcome back.
Great to be back.
Well, you have five questions in 5 minutes. No pressure, no timer. Cool. Don't worry. Your first question, can you summarise this book for us?
Yeah, Consumed is a novel about history from the 1960s, recurring the present day. So two missing children, they were never found, accidentally photographed by a kind of 17-year-old girl on her birthday. This 17-year-old girl ends up, you know, growing up, and by her 70s, she's sort of had multiple kids herself. She's famous, she's traveled the world, she's taken photographs in Vietnam and all kinds of places. She collapses in the night during a power cut in this kind of remote, kind of rich English town, and is consumed by her two pigs, opportunistically in the night, rather gruesomely. And in the kind of aftermath of her death, people looking into it, such as the drumroll veterinary forensic expert Cooper Allen, who was also in my first book, 16 Horses, everyone kind of is looking into her death, and what initially appears to be an accident may appear to kind of have foul play somehow involved, and the mystery of those two missing children, apparently never solved, but may indeed have more to it than kind of initially met the eye. Very much barreling into the present day mystery with which Cooper finds herself entangled.
There we go. That's a great summary. The next question, why should we read this? Who would this book appeal to?
So I think this book would appeal to people who enjoy crime and enjoy dark crime in particular. You know, it's not so much a cozy crime. That would maybe also be kind of interested in something a little bit different.
Next question, what do you want us to feel when we read this book?
I want people to be, I mean, it's a weird word using the word entertain, because especially when you're kind of writing quite dark stuff or stuff that's designed to kind of provoke introspection, you know, like thinking about life, thinking about work, thinking about how we kind of juggle all the different things we have going on, which is very much partly what the book's about. And certainly I was thinking about those things when working on it. I think I definitely want people to be entertained by the mystery and to be able to like have fun putting pieces together. 16 Horses was a mystery novel to some extent, but I think it lent more towards thriller a bit in that, you know, it's people facing these kind of circumstances and this kind of constant threat. This is more of a kind of, I think I've used the word gothic elsewhere, but it's very much someone kind of encountering lots of different clues, I'd say far more so than 16 Horses, and trying to piece those together. And I've sort of experimented with a bit of a kind of, 16 Horses had this a little bit, it had some like text message conversations, but this novel introduces more elements. So you get kind of like, you know, emails, Google searches, podcasts, various things like that are really trying to bring you in on the mystery and help you feel like you're part of that world. I guess if you're kind of up for kind of putting on a hat where you're pretending you're a detective for a bit, this will be a kind of a fun feeling for you to have.
Next question. Favourite major, favourite minor character in Consumed?
I'm not going to say Cooper because that's unfair because she's the series protagonist. Though, of course, she's quite high up. Favourite major character, Sophie, the photographer. I find her fascinating to write. She's supposed to be a bit of a kind of dark echo slash cautionary tale to some extent for Cooper, and that Cooper's caught in like her early 30s, whereas Sophie we see from 17 to 70. So she was very fun to write and is a bit kind of out there in some of the things she does, but I was a very forceful character. I never had difficulty knowing what Sophie was going to do. Her bits were the easiest to write in the novel. They're pretty close to first draft, to be honest, with her moments. So really enjoyed her. She's quite hardcore in her actions. And favorite minor character? Sort of minor, but there's a police officer called Lapis, who I've had a lot of fun writing. In 16 Horses, the police are very much kind of mostly sort of a friend force, and that one of the main characters is a police officer. It's a buddy cop kind of thing. They're working together. In this novel, as part of a commitment to kind of flipping things around, the police are a bit more of a kind of hostile force, like Cooper's not really working with them directly. And Lapis is sort of the most hostile of the hostile, and that he's this psychopath or not is another matter. But, you know, psychopathic people described as almost being like lizards, and that, you know, they're very alien to the way we all think. And he's a very alien perspective, but one which I think people would enjoy reading. And I certainly enjoyed writing because he does not think about the world or people in the way most of us do, but in a way that should be fairly enjoyable to trace.
Your last question. When we last talked to you, we asked about your biscuit of choice, and that was a Bourneville or chocolate digestive. This question is about your drink of choice. What drink was powering the writing of Consumed?
So this is a I imagine some people are like, oh yeah, this whiskey or this wine. It's going to be a very childlike answer considering the kind of dark stuff I write, but I really like Ribena mixed with lemonade. So if I feel like I want to do something or I want to feel happy, I put a little bit of Ribena in a glass and mix it with lemonade. So I would say it would be that.
I would not have put that with the book, but it just goes to show, don't judge a book by its cover. So there we go. Oh, it's just been great to talk to you again. Greg Buchanan, whose latest book is Consumed, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And now let's go to Veronica Henry and hear about 30 Days in Paris. Well, it is my huge pleasure to welcome back to the podcast Veronica Henry about her latest book, 30 Days in Paris. Veronica, welcome back.
Thank you. Lovely to see you.
Are you ready for your 5 questions in 5 minutes?
I think I am.
Great. Okay, your first question. Can you summarise this book for us in less than a minute?
Oh, gosh, I hope so. Right. It's the heroine is Juliet. She's 50-something, recently separated from her husband, very amicably. She has an empty nest, so she's got the chance to do whatever she likes for the first time in probably a long time. And she decides to go to Paris for 30 days to rediscover 20-year-old Juliet, who was an au pair. She fell in love with Paris. It all went a bit wrong. She had to come home. And she just wants to go back and revisit and rediscover who she could have been or who she might have been and have a real Parisian adventure. So live like a Parisian for 30 days. So she rents a little apartment.
Wonderful. And what a great book it is too.
Oh, thank you.
The next question is, why should we read this? For those that haven't read it, who would it appeal to?
Oh, I think it would appeal to anybody who's got any interest whatsoever in Paris and just fancies going there for the weekend, but without actually leaving the house, I think. So it's quite experiential. It's quite, you know, there's a lot of Paris in it. and it's just a story of finding the real you, I think. You know, Juliet does rediscover all the things about her that she's sort of had left behind. And it's just about the glamour and the stimulation, I think, that Paris can give you. You know, it's so, everything's so wonderful. The food, the music, the art. And actually, it's a very easy city to navigate. And I kind of wanted to take away the fear almost of Paris because it's so easy to walk around. You can really, really get under the skin of it quite easily if you give yourself some time. So, yeah, it's just a sort of snapshot of the city and what fun there is to be had.
And the next question follows on from that, really, is about the feelings. What do you want us to feel as we are reading this
book? Basically, I want everybody to shut the book and go and book themselves onto the Euros. And that's so many people have said to me, oh my God, I'm going to go to Paris. That's it. I'm off. So yeah, really, because it's a different, you know, everybody will have a different adventure and be after different things. But it always changes you, I think, Paris. Really, it does.
The next question is about your favourite major and favourite minor characters. I think I know what you're going to say for your favourite major. But yeah, who in the book is your favourite major and your favourite minor characters?
Oh, gosh, they're all quite fascinating. And some of them are more flawed than others. I think Juliet rediscovers an old friend, Natalie, who she met when she was 20, who's just a really dynamic, feisty American girl about town who's opened a bar in Paris, which, I mean, I would love to do that myself. I'm not a good enough businesswoman to do it, but she's just got such energy, Natalie, and so she's so unafraid of everything and is really inspiring. I think I admire her the most in the book. But then there's also Olivier, who was the love of Juliet's life when she was 20, and she meets up again with him, and he owns a bookshop and it's just quite perfect, I guess. But there are, you know, there's history there. They have to go and revisit the past and kind of put a few things to bed, literally and metaphorically.
Now, your last question is about what drink was powering the writing of 30 Days in Paris. When we spoke to you last time, we were talking about biscuits, and you said how Madeleines, the cake, was something that powered the writing. What drink powered it?
I think probably champagne. You can't go to Paris and not have a coup de champagne at some point. And that's one of the things that inspired Natalie's bar too. So
champagne, perfect.
Exactly.
Absolutely perfect. Well, it's just been great to talk to you again and to hear more about 30 Days in Paris. Veronica Henry, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Merci.
Super. And finally, let's hear from Steph Penny about the Beasts in Paris. Well, it is my huge pleasure to welcome back to the podcast Steph Penny, whose latest book is The Beasts of Paris. Steph, welcome. Are you ready for your 5 questions in 5 minutes?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Here we go. Your question number one. Can you summarise this book for us in less than a minute?
Unlikely. I'll have a go. It's set during the Siege of Paris and the Paris Commune, surprisingly enough, in Paris in 1870. It's about three people. Ellis, who's a veteran of the US Civil War, a surgeon, and he is desperate to avoid more bloodshed. Lawrence, a Canadian photographer, who's trying to develop his artistic skills. And Anne, who starts out as a hysteric in the Salpêtrière Women's Hospital, but she ends up somewhere very different. And these three are put through the ringer, and over a terrible winter, first fuel runs out and then food. They can't go anywhere and they have to queue up for bread. Then the Bloodless Revolution, the first progressive socialist government in history, takes over the Paris Commune until it is brutally crushed by the forces of order.
Da, 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 there you go. That's a good summary. Next question is, why would we read this? Who would this book appeal to?
I first found out a really hard question to answer.
I'd say people that like reading fiction books about history, people that like characters that you care about, stories that you're immersed in, something different that takes you away.
Yeah, I think my sort of goal in writing it, I mean, my goal is always to write my next favourite book in the world, because no one else has done it yet, so I've got to do it. Yeah, it's a passionate, immersive, historical epic, I would say. I'm always trying not to write an epic, and then I kind of get carried away and they kind of become epic. And it's sort of like I kind of wanted to reclaim, you know, historical fiction can be a very sort of homogenous place. And of course, history wasn't a homogenous place. Certainly Paris in the 1870s was not. So it was really exciting to kind of take that approach.
I'm sure. Well, your next question is, what do you want us to feel as we're reading it? I mean, in a way, you've just talked about that with the emotions and the characters, but what would you say?
Yeah, I think I would want readers to be, well, gripped. That's always, you know, really engaged with the characters, to feel like you're there experiencing what they're experiencing, the smells and the temperature and the fear and the noises, and yeah, to be immersed. And also angry. There's a lot to be angry about.
Yes, absolutely. No, that's great. Well, your next question, can you give me one favourite major character and one favourite minor character in The Beasts of Paris?
I would say my favourite main character is Anne Petitjean, because she is the most like me. And we sort of went on kind of parallel journeys, really, of discovery when I was writing her. My favourite minor character, I would say, is probably Ignace Papin, who is the chief vet in the menagerie. Just he's someone sort of who's kind of on the other side of the political divide, but I found him really fascinating and empathetic. And yeah, it was just an interestingly different point of view.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that's super. And the final question, when we spoke to you originally for your full interview, we would ask the biscuit question, but you, it turns out, are an ex-Florentine kind of person, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
So this question is about what drink was powering the writing of The Beasts of Paris?
Tons of water, occasional coffee, but nothing very exciting, I'm afraid. Tea. And then I reward myself with a glass of wine, I think, at the end of the day. So all of those things, but not at the same time.
A combination. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it helped to produce this great book, so it's absolutely acceptable. Well, Steph Penny, whose latest book is The Beasts of Paris, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Fabulous. So those are your three books today. We've had Consumed by Greg Buchanan, 30 Days in Paris by Veronica Henry, and The Beasts of Paris by Steph Penny. I'll be back on Monday with a normal longer episode. And then from next Friday, there'll be the quick, short episode again, but with two authors instead of three. I hope that's OK. I hope you're OK. Happy weekend. Look after yourselves. And I'll talk to you very soon. Take care now. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the QuickBook Reviews podcast. That's enough books, said no one, ever. See you again soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.